Hi, this is Elisa.
And Issa. Welcome to Internet Aesthetic. We talk about the internet, aesthetics, culture, and media. We're two Vietnamese-American women who live in a society, and we're here to analyze it. Grab a snack and hang out with us. Today we're talking about California girls.
Yeah. I mostly just wanted to talk about this because in, like, during the process of editing ourselves, like, I hear us say, like, so many times. And it just, like, reinforces how Californian we are to me.
Yeah. And when you brought that up, I think you also shared with me, like, a lot of articles about, like, the Californian accent, Californian slang, and then that kind of evolved into what is a California girl? So, yeah, in this episode, we wanted to talk about, broadly, what is a California girl? Namely, how do Californians talk? I'm like, what, like, linguistically is special about California girls? And then more specifically, like, our experience as California girls, as Vietnamese Americans in California. I think there's this idea of, like, what a California girl is. And, like, we're from California, and I don't think we necessarily fit that, like, stereotype of, like, the typical California girl. And so we kind of wanted to unpack that as well. And also just talk about our personal experiences growing up in California as a Vietnamese American.
Yeah, just a fun, casual last episode of the season.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll talk about, you know, what makes a California girl. So to quote the very academic Katy Perry in her song California Girls, California girls have Daisy Dukes, bikinis on top, sun-kissed skin, supposedly so hot they'll melt your popsicles.
Heck yeah.
And additionally, they are fine, fresh, and fierce. So kind of already a lot of people have this, like, mental image of a California girl as probably, like, a girl in LA, because I don't know if anyone in San Francisco owns a pair of shorts. So something in particular that I thought about was when I was in grad school, we had a lot of Chinese international students who didn't attend undergrad in the US. So it's, like, their first time in the US. And one day they asked, like, the Americans, so, well, who would you say is, like, a typical California girl? And kind of, like, the first person that, like, people thought about was another girl in our program named Amanda. And Amanda was this, like, gorgeous, blonde hair, blue-eyed girl. We worked together at FabFitFun. She went to UC Santa Barbara. She was in a sorority. And, like, all of her, like, beach and bikini Instagram posts were just, like, such goals, super fit. And, like, and she was, like, tan, too. So I think people really thought of her because that's kind of what people think of as a California girl. But kind of like the irony is that, like, there were probably at least, like, 10 girls in our program actually from California. And Amanda's actually, like, Polish. She's, like, not even American. She was also an international student. And so something Like, and not to say that there aren't girls in California who look like this, but it's something one of my friends told me kind of, like, it really stuck with me. She said, you know, actually, knowing California's, like, shifting demographics, Cynthia, another classmate who, you know, is an Asian American girl from San Francisco, probably embodies, like, the modern day California girl way more. Like, she's perfectly LA in that she's, like, a micro influencer. She's tall, tan, super fit, and extroverted. And she, like, knows the entertainment space well. But she also kind of embodies the Bay Area because she's worked in tech and she's super enterprising. She's chill. And I thought, like, oh, yeah, like, what? Why is it that, like, we have this idea of what a California girl is and why can't it be different? So, yeah, I think that's that was kind of interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like our stereotype of the California girl comes from media. A lot of it is the surf, the beach blonde babe is essentially the California girl. Or, I guess, a girl from the valley.
Yeah.
Maybe. Like, what's the book series? Like, Central Valley High, is it?
I don't know. That sounds about right.
Yeah, but anyway, like, some girl with, like, a valley accent.
Girls who say like and drive convertibles.
Clueless or legally blonde. Yeah.
I guess, like, statistically, though, California girls are... She's probably, like, Hispanic or, like, Latina, because California is at least, like, 39% Hispanic at this point, and that number's only going to grow. And, yeah, actually, it is true they're probably going to be from, like, either greater LA or San Diego, because that's, like, just where most people are in California, like population wise. But Bay Area is also growing in population. I'd say like the greater LA, like San Bernardino area, and the Bay Area represent like over 70% California. So
yeah,
what the California girl looks like, it's definitely changed for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess like something else that makes California girls different is the way we talk. I think this is what we're most interested in.
Yeah. Again, we say like a lot. If you guys are annoyed by how often we say like in our episodes, it is 50% more. Like, we edit out like half of them.
Oh yeah, I try like to do at least 75%.
Yeah, I remember one time when I was at Berkeley in a section, and we had to like present a I don't know, we were like broken up into groups. We had to like discuss something, and then we had to present what we discussed. And I'm usually not a presenter person, but for some reason everybody looked to me, and so I was like, okay, I guess I'm doing this. And I started like rambling, and at the end of it, our friend Yvonne, she was like, you said like 20 times at least in that like 2 minute discussion presentation. I was like, oof.
Okay, well, you know what, if they wanted to talk, they could have done it. You were forced into the role, so.
But it's like, I feel like I don't hear it when I like when I'm talking to people. If they are also saying like a lot, I don't hear it. It's just a filler word at this point.
I know, I don't hear it unless I like think about it, and then I hear it everywhere. I'm like, oh, everyone just says it. It's just like white noise at this point.
Yeah. Another thing that I've noticed when I'm editing us is that we have like a vocal fry.
Like the Kim Kardashian.
Yeah. It's also pretty Californian.
Yeah.
So like a vocal fry is just kind of that like raspy-ish sound.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I honestly like, I didn't think Californians had accents at all. Like growing up, just because, I mean, like you said earlier, I feel like media portrayals, like, were really influential. And, like, I think Californians are pretty represented on media. Like, Drake and Josh and, like, Raven Baxter and Lizzie McGuire. Like, they all talk like me. And so I thought, oh, everyone talks like this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. It's also because, like, I've never really been anywhere else. And also, I think there's kind of been a little bit of a flattening of the general American accent. Like, there's kind of a general, like, way that Americans talk, right?
Yeah.
And especially because, like, media has become so pervasive. Like, you can watch YouTube anywhere. So it, like, affects the way everybody talks. And so even when I'm talking to people that I know are, like, from other parts of the country, like, I feel like it's almost imperceptible. Like, sometimes I'll notice, like, a little bit of a quirk in the way that they talk versus, like, you know, the way that I'm used to hearing.
Yeah.
Sentences or like the way I'm used to hearing people talk, and I'd be like, oh yeah, you're not from California. We have like a contractor, I don't know, there's a team in like Virginia that we work with, and like I like hearing how they talk sometimes, like they really elongate certain words. I'm just like, it's so fascinating.
That's true. And I think that's like a very Californian thing to like shorten words, maybe like I've heard that we elongate our vowels, like we say like, dude, or like, but like, or for the most part, but yeah, like I think we do tend to like clip our words and like maybe not enunciate. I mean, we can kind of get into like the linguistics later, but like, yeah, it's kind of interesting. Like, actually, you actually can perceive it.
Yeah.
And I think because of social media, I feel like we can borrow regional slang much more easily.
Yeah.
And I think slang is a huge part of like the Californian accent, but now like everyone is saying like ye, or like, I don't know, things that were originated like specifically in the Bay Area or LA, like now I see it all over TikTok, and I'm like, okay, maybe it's like not a Californian thing anymore.
Yeah So like when I suggested this episode, and then we started going through like websites that were like talking about slang specific to California, I was very surprised by how much of it is specific to California. Like, I thought everybody just talked like this. But apparently not. Or like, I guess it just originated with us and now other people have picked it up.
Yeah. No, that's super interesting. I think, like, yeah, there are a few different categories of maybe like the Californian language. Yeah, like, so there's the accent, how we enunciate certain words. And then there's maybe habits or affects, like saying like or vocal fry. And then there's like the slang. And it's, yeah, really cool seeing the one of the articles that you shared with me, seeing that a lot of slang came from very specific pockets of California. Like the word hella came from Oakland. Like that is like unequivocal. And then now it's like slowly just become a part of other people's vocabulary. I don't know, like you didn't say hella before, but now it's like more
No.
natural to
Like, I remember when I was moving up to Berkeley, I started doing like research on like the Bay Area, and I found out that you guys say hella a lot, or maybe like my uncle told me about it, but I was just like, oh, I'm never gonna say hella. Like, I'm a SoCal girl. I'm not gonna like become a Bay Area girl. But like, I started saying it ironically, and now it's just a part of my
It
vocabulary.
is unironic at this point. I think that brings up an interesting point too. Like, California is so freaking big. The Central Valley versus like SoCal versus NorCal, quote unquote dialect. I don't know if I'm using that word correctly. It's maybe as different as like, I don't know, California from maybe like New York or Florida. So I don't know, it's cool to hear how like language travels.
I just wanted to kind of go through different slang words. There's this website called Wander Wisdom, and it's like how to speak like a Californian. So, one is stoked. So, like, literally super excited about something or for someone. You can be stoked about an activity or stoked about receiving news. And then, how it's used is like, hey man, did you hear that the Shack is hosting a free screening? It's like, yeah man, I'm stoked. Let's go see it.
See, I thought that was normal. I didn't know other people didn't use the word stoked. But it does feel very surfery now that you put it that way.
Yeah, dude, actually, I think I've used that quite a bit.
Yeah, I feel like I have to.
Yeah, another one is gnarly. So, insane, shocking, intense, horrible, or surprisingly risky or crazy. Dude, did you hear that Carl fell off his skateboard? Yeah, man, that's gnarly.
Definitely skater surfer culture.
Yeah, a lot of like our slang comes from skater surfer culture. Mostly surfer culture.
I think like a lot of Bay Area slang comes from the Chicano and African American communities, like Oakland specifically. Hella, of course, and like bruh or killing it, bomb, like stuff like that. Anything that feels like distinctly Bay Area, I think probably originated from those communities. And then there's like maybe a subculture of like tech talk. I don't know, maybe it's like Silicon Valley slang. It's like, can you ping him instead of like, can you message him or like iterate? Or like, oh, I don't have the bandwidth.
Do you feel like you talk like that? Have you incorporated any of that?
Yeah, it's so bad. I'm like, Andrew, we gotta iterate on this recipe for like the ice cream. And I'm just like, why did I say that? Or, hey, can you ping mom? Like, I need to do this thing. And it's like, wait, I'm on Slack here. Or, oh, I don't have the bandwidth to clean today. Like, can you do the dishes? So bad.
Bandwidth is a very good word to use in general, though, just to talk about the load that you're dealing with.
Yeah, which is unfortunately very useful.
Yeah, and so like another one is just like the bro, bra, bruh. Dude, also.
I didn't, people didn't really say dude outside California, but it makes sense.
Yeah. And the funny thing is, I feel like dude and bruh is used pretty genderlessly, but sometimes I'm like, are people gonna be like sensitive to like my usage of dude?
I've definitely been censoring myself more, like especially at work, not to use it. I still say with my friends, like, what's up, my dudes? But like at work, I'm more like, oh, I don't know if I should.
Yeah, this is very much personal friend usage. Yeah, that was actually another episode idea was code switching. Just the way that you talk at work versus like with your family versus with your friends.
Ooh, season three.
Okay, here's one that I've never heard of is Grom, which is a young kid who is often succeeding at something. It's like, whoa, the beach is crowded. Yeah, all the Groms are out today.
That sounds very surfer specific. Like resentful of like the yuppies encroaching on like
Send it, Have you ever heard of Sendit?
Yeah, send it's like pretty common in the Bay Area.
I remember hearing a coworker use it, and then I was just like, what the heck? And then I looked it up on freaking Urban Dictionary.
the old person you are.
Yeah, like a boomer. I feel like it's very fun. I feel like it's kind of like yeet, but not really. Ooh, are you down with that?
That's just like such a part of my vocabulary now. I don't
Yeah,
know.
I'm down.
Totally down. Not that down.
Something that's bomb.
Yeah, bomb's a good one.
Legit, the real thing. Yeah, that food was legit.
For show.
For show.
Yeah, there's like a Bay Area speak section of
Oh,
this, and
yeah.
it's like best not to use these terms, just be aware of them.
Yada meme.
Yeah,
Okay,
I
like
mean.
we I remember when we were going through this, I was like, what the fuck? And then I looked it up some more, and apparently this is another one of those like Oakland originals.
It's definitely an Oakland original. I know, yeah, I saw that TikTok that was like, you know you're from the Bay when you understand this. And like it was a whole like TikTok of words I just did not understand. But I was like, yeah, it's probably because it's like this is the Oakland community that I did not grow up in. So I mean, some of my San Jose Asian friends know what like the words mean, but I do not. Do not. No one should say Frisco ever though. Frisco is like the worst.
I feel like it would be fun to say around Bay Area types and just watch them get mad.
Yeah, I'm already so mad just thinking about it. We just say SF up here. Some people say the city, but I don't say the city. I think accent-wise, the way that I speak is very Asian American, because specifically East Bay Area, Asian American, kind of Californian. And I feel like sometimes, like, I could just tell if someone's Asian American or not from the way they speak. Even if they're speaking like perfectly fluent English with like no accent, I could feel like I can just tell. Like, there are times where I'm in like a Lyft or like an Uber and I'm sitting in the passenger seat and like someone kind of comes behind me and I hear them talk. I'm like, oh, I bet they're Asian. And I'll look around and I'm right. And I was wondering, like, what is it about the way that Asian Americans talk that sounds kind of distinct to me? And I researched it, and actually, yeah, there is a specifically Asian American accent. So there's research done by UPenn that shows that Asian Americans, specifically Asian Americans in California, overall do not enunciate their consonants as much, or just enunciate their words in general compared to like white Americans. So instead of saying like District 13 or like Midtown, Asian Americans are more likely to say like district, like without like the T at the end, or like Midtown, like without pronouncing the D, or like, I don't know, even if you're like super articulate, and there are just certain things that we kind of skip over.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. And also, like, the Asian American accent is super heavily influenced by just the Californian accent.
Yeah, that's interesting.
In that case, I kind of want to talk about the Vietnamese Californian experience, like growing up as a California girl, a Vietnamese American California girl. Yeah. So, what was your experience?
Yeah, so I grew up in the SGV in Rosemead specifically. And so like I never really felt like I was out of place or didn't belong. Just 'cause like it's not primarily, it's like half Asian, half Hispanic and Latino. And so I just always felt like I belonged. And then I moved to like a city in the San Bernardino Valley where AAPI is like 4.7% of the population.
Whoa.
Yeah, and then I was like, oh, yeah, this is not where I'm supposed to be. But I mean, I still found, or like actually, my friend Annie found me. And she's Chinese, and I just remember this one time we were in line at the cafeteria for lunch. And these like random people behind us were like, oh, are you guys sisters? And I was just kind of like, just because we are like two of the only Asian people here does not mean we're related. But like at the same time, I couldn't be mad because I think at this point, my cousin was also going to this school. So like technically, there are Asians that are related to each other. I mean, I was like, I can't really be mad at you for making this assumption. There are really not that many Asians out here. And then I went to Berkeley, and then there were like more Asian people, and I was like, finally. And And then I moved back to Rosemead for my first job. And like, even though I lived there before, when I moved initially, I was just a kid. And so like, my mom was like super protective and she never let me go anywhere. And so I never really got to like go to Quigley's and like get nasty ass boba with my friends or just like experience. I think at this point, Asian American culture was starting to kind of like rise mm-hmm. in terms of like the food scene and stuff. So like when I finally moved back, food was popping off and I finally like got to like go out with Jenny and just try out all these different restaurants, try out all the boba. It's great.
You live the Asian American childhood / high school experience that you did not get.
Yeah.
Were there many Vietnamese people? Or I guess like, did you experience Vietnamese American culture? Like when you experienced the 626 again as an adult?
Yeah, I mean, even as a kid, there were like a lot of Viet people. I mean, Jenny is Viet. Like I had a handful of Viet friends as a kid. I mean, like I never really went out, so I can't really say that I experienced Viet food or culture. Mm-hmm. I went to Viet school at like a church or like a temple. Like I saw a lot of Viet people there, obviously. Yeah, I guess I would say that that's my Vietnamese experience in the 626 early on, was just like going to temple, learning Viet with like all these other kids and like complaining about it, eating vegetarian food.
Yeah.
We would go to Santa Ana or like Garden Grove once in a while just to like go to like Phu Bloc Tha.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like my dad really hates it down there. And so like I have also grown to hate it down there just because like the traffic's really bad. I remember whenever we would go to Phu Bloc Tha, the parking would be so shitty.
Yeah.
And then it's like a mall basically with a bunch of like jewelry stores, little toy stores that were really fun to go to. We never got to buy anything.
So. Yeah, the one time I went there, the traffic was also pretty bad.
Yeah,
but it was Viet heaven for my parents.
Yeah, I kind of want to like go with Jenny now just to like try out the food, because before I was kind of like stuck with my parents and they don't really like to pay for like Vietnamese food because it's like something they can make themselves.
No, that makes sense. Yeah, it's definitely different experiencing these cities that are supposedly like our childhood cities like as an adult, because mm-hmm. you're like, now we have like money and like a means to go like wherever we want. So we can go to that, like, bougie bubble place. We don't have to go to whatever our parents kind of make us go to. And I feel like that also kind of has shaped, like, the Asian American community.
Yeah.
Because I feel like in the Bay Area, at least, mm-hmm. I don't know, the diaspora of Vietnamese Americans in San Jose, at least, like, it's kind of interesting seeing the kinds of restaurants and food places that close down and the ones that open up. And, yeah, it's kind of cool seeing how, like, young people are, like, changing the landscape of like these historically like super Asian places.
Yeah, no, it's just, it's really funny seeing all these boba places. Like I'm very focused on the boba right now. There are just so many of them. Mm-hmm. And it's always funny when like another one pops up.
Yeah. I'm really curious. So much of the really good Vietnamese food in these areas, I wonder, I mean, they're definitely created by like that first wave of Vietnamese refugees from Vietnam. But like, as they age, I don't know if their kids are taking over. There is, of course, like a renaissance of like young Vietnamese chefs and like foodies kind of taking mm-hmm. over. But like, I'm wondering like to what extent, or is this, if it's just going to be boba shops, I don't know. That's fine too. But yeah, I'm just curious.
I mean, I've read that like the second generation or first generation, I don't know. I've read that like these kids that are like growing up, they're starting kind of like their own more bougie restaurants, but still, what's the word,
they still have like traditional,
yeah, they're still like taking part and like elevating their food,
yeah, like elevated like fusion class
Chinese food.
Yeah.
Which I think, more power to you guys if you guys want to make Chinese food expensive, because the funny thing is, I remember reading about how like people kind of take for granted that Chinese food is just like cheap as hell. Mm-hmm. And it's because we don't value the labor that goes into it. Mm-hmm. And so when we see like these places that are like charging hella for Chinese food that's typically pretty cheap, mm-hmm. it's because like we don't really value the labor or the expertise that goes into it. Mm-hmm. But also like, I mean, we're just cheap. We are just a cheap people.
Yeah, my mom's like, I can make it myself at home. Why would I pay 15 bucks for like this bowl of pho or whatever? But like,
yeah, exactly.
Thing is, this this bowl of pho. Probably now they're actually paying their workers like a living wage.
Yeah, I'm just like talking about Chinese food because I remember there was like this place in Berkeley that sold a lunchbox worth of like a to-go container's worth of food for like $7.
Tea Press?
No.
Oh.
But it was like off of Telegraph.
Oh.
It was kind of like a hole in the wall-ish place.
So good.
Yeah, dude. Honestly, they gave you so much food. It was enough for like lunch and dinner.
Honest people.
It's perfect. And there's like apparently a place like that near here that my brothers have been wanting to go to.
Go do it.
Yeah. I'm like also not super willing to pay for Viet food though. Like, yeah. My mom can make that.
Yeah.
And she can make it better because mom makes it best.
Yeah. She knows how salty you like it or.
Yeah.
What vegetables you don't like.
Yeah. But what's your experience as a Vietnamese American?
I grew up in the East Bay area, so not San Jose. And I mean, I have family in San Jose. My family's originally from Oakland. Like, my parents grew up in the projects. So I grew up in Oakland for a little bit. But we moved out to, like, essentially the suburbs of the East Bay, where I'd say it was definitely predominantly Asian. Like, my school was, like, 50% or even, like, 60, 70% Asian. Mm-hmm. But, like, the majority were Chinese, Taiwanese, and Korean. And so, I mean, just growing up, I never felt, like, out of place, I guess. Like, I never felt like I didn't belong in the Asian, like, the broadly Asian way. Yeah. But I will say, like, damn, people, kids can be so mean. Like, I remember so many of my classmates just made me feel really bad about being Southeast Asian. Because, I don't know, like, Korean people were, like, the golden standard. And then, like, Japanese people were, like, second. But there are no Japanese people in our school. And so it's, like, they would, I don't know, like, I remember people, like, shame, like, Vietnamese and, like, Filipino people in my school.
What the heck?
For being, like, the hood Asians or whatever. And, like, they're not as, like, respectable as, like, East Asians. And I remember, like, K-pop and anime were, like, supreme. And, like, they would make fun of how, like, tonal Vietnamese sounded. Or, like, how cringy, like, Viet pop was or whatever. And, like, I just remember feeling, like, so shitty about being Vietnamese.
Wow.
Because, like, or they'd say things like, oh, yeah, like, the Vietnamese ao yai looks so plain compared to, like, how pretty hanboks and, like, kimonos are.
Fuck you.
Right? And so, like, I grew up so badly, like, wanting just to be, like, East Asian. And, like, I think that kind of reflects a lot in, like, how I can't really speak Viet. And it felt, like, embarrassing because, like, none of my peers were Vietnamese. So definitely, like, I felt, like, embarrassed for sure. But, like, I had family and friends who grew up in San Jose, and they had a very different experience. And we're all from the Bay Area, but, I mean, they actually grew up, like, speaking Viet at home. They had, like, Viet supermarkets. That was so fun down there. Like, everyone, like, the entire street would just, like, light up with firecrackers.
Aww.
And, like, I just remember thinking, like, this is, like, the Viet community that I'd never had because, I don't blame my parents or anything, but yeah, definitely didn't have that same experience growing up in the East Bay. And, like, I don't know, San Jose is so cool because, like, you could really just not know a single word of English and live, like, a very full-bodied, awesome life in San Jose. Like, there are Vietnamese doctors, Vietnamese, like, auto repair people. Like, you don't need to speak English to be Vietnamese in San Jose. So I thought that was always super cool. So, I know, when I went to VSA at Berkeley, I feel like the majority of the people there, they seem more so like the San Jose Viet people. And, like, I didn't really fit in that way. They just felt so much closer to Vietness than I did.
Oh.
But yeah, I don't know. It's interesting. Yeah, growing up Viet in the Bay Area. Yeah.
Was San Jose considered, like, a hood area?
I think, yeah, there's definitely, like, some parts. Most parts of San Jose. Like, it's mostly, like, Vietnamese and Hispanic. And, yeah, there's definitely, like, crime and gangs, like, for sure in San Jose. Like, gun violence. But there are pockets of, like, suburbia in San Jose,
too.
So it's, like, mixed. Very, very big city.
Yeah. Because that was, like, not my experience at all growing up.
Yeah.
I never felt less than for being Vietnamese.
Mm-hmm.
But I, like, the thing is, Rosemead was, like, adjacent to, like, hood areas. As well as, like, these, like, nicer areas. Like, it was, like, adjacent to, like, Arcadia.
Yeah.
Monterey Park. Like, these really nice Asian areas. And then there's, like, El Monte.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the hood. But apparently El Monte is also, like, kind of becoming gentrified. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's because, like, there was such a mix of like different people that I don't know. I mean, I never felt like made fun of.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, maybe I was just like a very average person that nobody ever like singled me out. But I don't, I don't know if there was ever any bullying or like I never saw anybody being bullied.
No, I mean, definitely. I feel like growing up, it was not like outward like hatred of Vietnamese people. But I remember just even like my friends, they would just offhand comments, like say things like, oh, yeah, like Vietnamese sounds so weird. Just like the subtle superiority complex of East Asians over Southeast Asians.
Yeah.
It was more like that. But like, yeah, it's so interesting, like the nuances of like Asian ethnic groups in these areas.
Yeah. I mean, I think even like growing up, I kind of had like a perception of Vietnamese people as being like more hood.
Yeah.
Like more prone to party.
Like the circumstances in which like Vietnamese people came to the US are so different than like Chinese people and like Japanese people and Taiwanese people, you know. It's like, I'm sorry, like we did not come here because our parents were skilled, like, you know, tech people. Like we came here because our home was destroyed. So I don't know.
Yeah, I think like Ali Wong said it best. Something jungle Asian versus what?
There's the jungle Asian part of you and like the fancy Asian part of you.
Yeah, yeah. It's like fancy Asian versus jungle Asian.
Yeah.
When she said that, I was like, I feel seen.
Right?
I finally understood what it was
about
being Vietnamese. I was like, we are jungle Asian.
Yeah. We'll own it.
But yeah, I'm proud, you know. Yeah. We will survive. We will persevere.
Yes.
It's also interesting to me that like the Vietnamese language was made fun of for like tones. Like I've always like been proud of all the tones in Vietnamese. I remember thinking of it as kind of like a song, like the way that people talk, I guess. Aww. Just because there's all these different tones when people talk.
Yeah.
Okay, you know what, at least we don't have to memorize like a jabillion different strokes just to fucking write a sentence, okay? God. No, I was on Tumblr and there was this post about Chinese or like Korean or Japanese or whatever, and like how, I mean, you know how like when you're writing in English there's like different ways that you can write letters and like everybody's handwriting is different, and that will affect the way that it looks, right? But like with Chinese, if you write your, if your handwriting is not perfect, or like, you know, if it doesn't look like, if you're learning Chinese, you're learning it off of like, I guess, a book.
Yeah.
Or like, you know, a screen where like the characters are like perfect. But if you have to read a letter or something that somebody wrote to you, I think it's going to be like significantly harder to understand their handwriting because it's not going to look perfect.
Mm-hmm.
There was just like this graph of the different ways that a single Chinese word could be written. And it was just kind of insane how like how chicken scratchy it could get. I was just like, what the fuck? That's why I was like, I am so glad that the French came and Latinized the Vietnamese language. Because we, like, before the French came, our language was basically Chinese.
It was Chinese, yeah.
So we were this close to having to learn that.
Thank God. Yeah, I know. I feel like I didn't understand the depths of my, whatever, self-hatred until I feel like I went to grad school and I had a really awesome Vietnamese friend named Swan. And I remember thinking like, oh yeah, like I feel awkward speaking Vietnamese, whatever, because like it sounds weird sometimes. And she's like, what? I think it sounds beautiful. And I was like, wow, I feel like this is the first time I heard anyone other than like a family member like romanticizing my language.
Mm-hmm.
It felt so good. Yeah, screw those people who like think Chinese or Japanese and Korean sound like way cooler than like Vietnamese, because like they gotta untangle their own internalized racism or whatever.
Yeah, their privilege, their fancy Asian privilege.
Earlier you brought up Arcadia, Monterey Park, and all these different pretty heavily Asian cities in SoCal.
Mm-hmm.
And it reminded me of how like in the Bay Area, at least, a lot of, there are a lot of Asian people everywhere. Like Vietnamese people are like concentrated in San Jose and nowhere else, but in like SoCal, I feel like Viet people are more widely spread out.
Yeah.
You can pretty much find Viet people in like any, I mean, of course they're mostly in Garden Grove or like Anaheim. Yeah, yeah. But like it's cool seeing how like technically San Jose has the highest population of Vietnamese people of any city, but like SoCal has just like the most Vietnamese people like just across the whole region.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the chances of, if you go into like an Asian supermarket around here, the chances that the butcher speaks both Vietnamese and Chinese are pretty high, just because like they kind of have to. So sometimes my mom will just like walk up and just say something in Vietnamese and they'll like understand it, but then someone Chinese will walk up later and start talking and they'll also like switch to that language, and it's just like fascinating.
I love that.
All the cashiers and stuff. It's also like I'm half Chinese, half Vietnamese, technically. Mm-hmm. Not technically, I am, but yeah, I feel like that's probably what the mix is. It's just a lot of like Chinese, Vietnamese, mm-hmm. mainly. I don't think there are a lot of like Korean, Japanese people in like the 626.
Yeah, they're probably like in K-Town.
Yeah, and then also like I remember when I went to Garden Grove to visit my aunt down there, the supermarket across from her house is actually like a Korean one.
Oh, that's
so I feel
cool.
like they're down there as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, so if you're thinking about who California Girl is, just think about all these different cities that we're talking about. This is the reality of living in California.
Yeah, it is not white.
It's really not.
I mean, maybe I'm just in my own bubble, but I don't see a lot of white people.
I mean, just like looking at the demographics of California from the All Reputable Sports Wikipedia, there's no single ethnic group that forms the majority of California.
Nice.
And so, I mean, it reflects, of course, ethnic groups are concentrated in certain areas, but like, mm-hmm. yeah, it's kind of like shocking to me, like leaving California and seeing like, oh, it's not balanced here.
Yeah.
That's pretty unique about California too.
If I were to like go to like, I don't know, Seattle or Portland or just, I guess, anywhere outside of California and just like see a bunch of white people, I would be like, what the fuck?
Our experience as California girls. Do you feel sometimes an urge to want to be like super Californian, like go to the beach and get a tan? And
I love going to the beach. I don't go a lot though, just because it is really hot, and also like I don't want to get sunburned. I love the beach. I love the waves. I love the wind. I love the water. I love the sand. It's just amazing. I'm not a fan of how dirty it is though. I've only ever been to janky beaches.
I mean, yeah, it's like most of California's beaches. And the water's cold. Like my friend from the East Coast, and yeah. She's like, I don't understand why your water is freaking cold. And I was like, get used to it, baby.
It's not cold in the East Coast?
It's warm. It's beaches what are actually fuck? Warm, right?
What the fuck?
You walk in and it's warm water.
What? So they don't have to like brace themselves before no. they get in the water?
They don't do the toe thing.
Oh my God. What a life. I know. No wonder. That's so funny. Well, like, just imagining someone from the East Coast visiting a California beach and just running in.
They'll feel gypped. They're like, I didn't sign up for this.
The shock of their life. What are some Californian things you like to do?
I still think of the quintessential, like, LA experience. Like, paying for that avocado toast. And I feel like avocados are very Californian. I mean, just after working at Instacart and seeing all these food trends, like, no one consumes avocados like California does. So yeah, getting that avocado toast, living that, like, micro-influencer life, going to the beach. I love the beach, too.
I love driving.
Driving with the windows down, so nice.
Yes. I know I shouldn't because, you know, public transportation,
yeah,
obviously would be best, but because it sucks so much,
yeah,
driving is also pretty great, especially when those few moments when traffic is actually pretty good and you can kind of just coast.
Yeah,
so good.
So like, nice.
You're just blasting your music.
Yeah. Have you seen Olivia Rodrigo's Deja Vu music video?
I have not seen it.
You should watch.
Wait,
it.
Okay,
the music video opens up with her in some like vintage whatever pastel convertible with a headscarf, mm-hmm. and like cute sunglasses. She's eating ice cream and she's just like coasting down to like Malibu. And it's like,
nice.
That is the vibe.
Yeah, that feels very Californian.
Yeah.
Do you think you would ever live anywhere else?
I mean, realistically, no. I can dream. Like, I would love to live in Europe for like a little bit, like a year. Or like New York seems cool. I considered going to grad school there just to experience it. But I feel like California is just the best. Like, how can you beat the weather? How can you beat, like, the amenities that we have? We literally have anything you want. Any brand you want to buy, like, any food you want to eat, it's here.
We have all the different ecosystems, but, like...
Right?
We have the beach, we have the mountains.
We've got deserts.
Forests. We've got it all, baby.
I know. My friend from, like, Indiana is like, there are no hills here. And I'm like, what do you mean? Because we're driving together and she didn't put on her parking brake. And I was like, Kara, you gotta put on your parking brake. Wait, am I thinking of the right person? Sorry, Kara, if that wasn't you. someone didn't put their parking brake on because they're not from California. And I was like, this is, you need to put that on because they don't have elevation elsewhere. And I take for granted for sure, like the fact that we have like mountains to look at in the distance.
I can't imagine like just looking into the horizon and not seeing a mountain.
I know.
At all. Not one single mountain.
Not one. I know.
I would feel like I was nowhere.
Right. Okay. That's the thing. Like, I'm not a particularly like outdoorsy girl. I wouldn't say I'm like a nature lover, but like Andrew's family's been pushing us to like consider moving to Austin, Texas, because whatever, the housing's cheap there. And I looked it up and there was like, oh yeah, the nearest hike is like 2 hours away. You drive 2 hours to get there and then you wait in line outside of the park.
What?
Like, it's just like bumper to bumper as like people are like entered into the one. Like,
no.
And I was like, no, I can just go outside and like... have a very nice hike.
Absolutely not. There's also a Vietnamese community in Texas.
Yeah.
And I've had a relative move there. And so, like, sometimes my mom or, like, my brothers will also be like, oh, maybe we should move to Texas. Like, fuck that.
Y'all can go. Like,
all of the heat, but, like, what is there to do?
Nothing. They have to create things to do.
Oh, my God. You just drive.
You drive to the next fun thing to do.
I mean, I guess that's essentially the LA experience as well.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, I've also been interested in, like, moving to, like, maybe, like, Seattle or Portland.
Yeah.
Or maybe New York. But I would never, like, spend the rest of my life there.
Yeah.
Like, I would live and die in California.
I know we just talked a lot about, like, what we love about California. But, like, what truly cannot be replicated besides, I guess, like, the natural habitat ecosystem?
I don't know. I mean, like, first of all, there's just so much food out here.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess that's true of like any big city. There's just gonna be like a lot of different cultural foods.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be very diverse. But maybe I just take that for granted because that's all I've ever experienced.
Mm. No, it's true. Like, I told Andrew's dad, like, is there Asian food in Austin? And he was like, yeah, they built like a whole like mall complex with like, all this stuff. And I was like, okay, so they have to like construct it, so it's there, but it still doesn't feel like, you know, like,
yeah, yeah. Also, the weather is good, especially like, I mean, this is partly why I want to move to the Bay Area. Like, the weather in the Bay Area is so much better than the weather in SoCal. Like, yeah, it's always sunny, but it's also like hot as heck.
Yeah, Bay Area weather is awesome.
There's these YouTube videos, I think, that like the different 50 states. Ooh, the Condé Nast Traveler.
Oh.
They do like 50 people from each state, or like one person from each state will like talk about like whatever topic the video is about.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a slang one. There's like words that their state always mispronounces. The most popular stereotypes. Like all this stuff. But like I always love seeing like the person from California. Like there's this one dude who is like just like so California. Like every time I see him, I'm like, did they like make you look like this? I'm just like, bro, he looks like such a hipster.
Love California. You're right. Like, I think it'd be helpful to experience life elsewhere and it'd even be like mm-hmm. a really good time, but I can't imagine like raising a family like anywhere else.
Yeah, Jenny and I have always wanted to just do like a cross-country road trip.
Yay.
Just go through all the states and just visit everywhere, see what it's like.
That'd be awesome.
Yay! Last episode of our season.
How fun.
Season 3 will come out.
Yes.
When it comes out.
We will elevate. I feel like we definitely elevated from season 1, season 2.
Hell yeah.
I want to deliver again for season 3.
Yeah, season 3 is coming. We have episodes planned for
yes,
it.
Yes, yes, yes.
But we're going to take a break. We're very tired. Thanks for listening to Internet Aesthetic. The music for this podcast is Rose Ornamental by Blue Dot Sessions. If you enjoyed listening, you can find us on Instagram at net.aesthetic or leave us a voice message at anchor.fm/internetaesthetic. We hope you join us again next season. Bye.
Bye. Bye, Lisa.
Bye, Issa.